My dad works in B2B marketing, but I never really knew what that meant. Then one day, my dad came by my school for career day and told everyone in my class he was a big MQL man. Then he just kept saying things like, the more MQLs, the better, over and over. My friends still laugh at me to this day. I think it means marketing qualified lead. One thing's for sure, I'll be known as the MQL man's kid for the rest of my days. Why couldn't you just be a fireman or a lawyer? Why? You ruined my life, Dad.
Not everyone gets B2B, but LinkedIn has the people who do. And with ads on LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people based on job title, industry, likelihood to buy, and more. Start converting your B2B audience into high-quality leads today. We'll even give you a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/customer to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/customer. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
Let me run this by my lawyer is a really helpful phrase to have in your back pocket. Legal Shield has been giving legal peace of mind for over 50 years. They connect you to a vetted law firm in your state for an affordable monthly fee. Want an experienced set of eyes on a contract's fine print, or you finally want to get that will done? Legal Shield has a dedicated group of lawyers who have your back, no matter what the future brings. Sign up today at LegalShield.com/iHeart. PPLSI does not provide legal representation or advice. See a plan for complete terms.
It's brand new season two. I'm Marissa Thalberg.
And I'm Stephen Wolf Bedeta. And we're excited to be back having bigger, bolder, and always real conversations.
Straight from the C-suite front lines of marketing, media, and more.
We have great friends joining from people you may know, like Wilmer Valderrama and Bobby Burke.
And people you'll want to know. So grab a coffee or, hey, even an Aperol Spritz and come join us on America's number one podcast network, iHeart.
Listen to Brand New on the iHeart Radio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hello and welcome back to another episode of the Mark Moss Show, where we're talking about the decentralized revolution, and we have been talking about the battle for the fate of humanity and what I've been calling the fight of our lives. And that fight of our lives is about technology. And so this is a thread that I've been continuing to hit on. If you want to build and protect your wealth, and more importantly, your freedom, then these are things that you should be worried about. You should be concerned about. These are things that you want to know about and take action on, because it's always technology that changes the world. And we're seeing that as this tool is being used more and more and more, there's a battle over who wields the power, who has it. So in this show, I want to break down and really dig into this narrative. And I want to look at two big things that happened this week that really highlight this. And I got my show producer Q on with me. What's up, Q?
Mark, thank you so much for having me join you. I was pissed reading all this stuff, man. So needless to say, I'm excited to get to talk it out with you.
Yeah, you know, so, you know, it's like I called it earlier sort of like this fire, right? So it's like, who controls fire, or who controls steel, or, you know, so throughout history, you have these monumental things, copper, the Bronze Age, like, and whoever harnesses the power of these has unfair advantage, if you will, right? And now we have like this power of information, and maybe this sort of fits into this like fifth generation of warfare narrative, and like the ability to create information, share information, communicate, things like that has gotten pretty powerful. And the way I was kind of looking at it is like almost like the elites, the state, I just probably call it the state. I don't like to use the word elite. The state, you know, their power comes from their ability to kind of control this narrative. And they probably going like, oh shoot, now they have this power of this internet, this technology, like what are we going to do about it?
Dude, I mean, that is in essence the development of information in society. I mean, they talk about that in The Sovereign Individual. Now that we are in the information age, we don't have to have gatekeepers tell us certain things. And these gatekeepers have historically always bended, fibbed, turned things in a way that benefited themselves. And now people, more than just a couple individuals now, we're seeing it en masse. People are waking up to the fact that, hey, this system is BS.
Yeah. So this week we saw some big news. It's you know, as technology ramps up, I think this is ramping up. I talk about this every week, and sort of like this collision course that we're on, where like we're getting more technology. It's sort of giving us back more power, but they're starting to see this and they want to kind of start closing that door. And so there's like this, there's this battle that's coming, and the fight of our lives, if you will. And so this week we saw Biden's latest attempt at controlling technology. Now, of course, he knows nothing about it. He doesn't even know where he's at, but he put it through an executive order. Now, first of all, I have offense to this. Now, I'm not going to call it just Biden for this. Every president does this, but an executive order is basically like, I'm a dictator and I'm just going to make a rule because I say I'm a dictator. And it completely bypasses the democratic process. Like, again, not just singling out Biden, Trump did it as well. So did Obama, et cetera. But Biden sure is doing a lot of these. I haven't looked at the numbers, but I'm guessing he's setting some records doing this. But either way, he set an executive order to control or regulate AI. And what he's demanding is equity. Now, a couple of things that I saw on this is, first of all, you know, in order for laws to work, F.A. Hayek really framed this up well in his book, The Road to Serfdom. And he talks about how laws are supposed to be interpreted, be able to be interpreted by everybody. So they should be simple enough that we can understand them and specific enough so we know how to apply them and then permanent enough that we can plan our life on them. But these things seem very ambiguous. So for example, they talk about how AI, artificial intelligence, holds extraordinary potential, but it also could potentially harm us. So that's a tool, right? And he talks about how disinformation could displace and disempower workers, stifle competition, and pose risks to national security. So right there, that piece, pose risk to national security. Disinformation and national security. So those things jump out at me. I mean, what did you think about that?
I mean, look, it's pulling on that heartstring. You are unequivocally un-American if you think that anything under the guise of for the sake of national security shouldn't be done. Like that is sort of the play. It's the same play as the Patriot Act. Oh, you're not a patriot if you don't support the Patriot Act, when in fact it is some of the most un-American legislation we've ever seen. And this, in turn, it's becoming that. We're just seeing more government overreach when they just don't need to, and they don't know what they're doing.
Yeah, and so the problem that I have is that it seems to be, and I haven't gone through and actually put a quantitative number behind this, but the state is the largest purveyor of disinformation over and over and over again. It's the state pushing the disinformation. And so for them to throw that out there and then the risk to national security, so we don't know what that means. But as we dig into this a little bit more, we see that he says, my administration places the urgency on developing the use of AI safely. So like back to that word safe, safety, safely. The quote is been misattributed. We don't know. It's Jefferson or Franklin that says that those who sacrifice freedom for safety deserve neither. So we don't really know what this means. But the federal government wants to have wide sweeping control to put things into artificial intelligence to keep it safe. I mean, what kind of things are they talking about safe?
I mean, a lot of it goes back to, and I'm going to put my data analyst hat on, there's an old saying when you build sort of machine learning models or just models in general, garbage in, garbage out. If you give it bad data, it's going to give you a bad model. So there's an element of this where it's like, okay, they understand that component, sure, but who are you to tell me what I can and can't do? At its core, writing code is an expression of free speech. I am typing up words on my computer to then go and type up more words. And then I could bore you with the nuances of what actually is the definition of artificial intelligence. But what we're seeing here is just clear as day government overreach.
He says that my administration cannot and will not tolerate the use of AI to disadvantage those who are already too denied equal opportunity and justice. Is that a threat? Is that what's happening? Is that a big deal? Like, how does that even work?
It's just a lot of empty promises that aren't really going to be solved. This is not the arena to solve these issues. We have laws in place that protect us from things like copyright infringement, from having our money stolen out of our bank accounts, and from countless other laws that everyone's afraid AI is going to do. So before they do those laws, we're going to stop them.
Yeah,
it's like that old minority. Yeah, it's Minority Report all over again.
Yeah, it's just laws on top of laws on top of laws. The problem that I see with this is that what we've seen countless examples, and there's been numerous reports and studies and tests done, how OpenAI, which was supposed to be open, is, and other AI models as well, language learning models, LLMs, as you mentioned earlier, have been fed a certain type of data. So then they recite, they regurgitate information they got from the data sources they were fed. And so what we've seen through countless tests and studies is that it's very leaning to one side, left leaning on one side. Now, just this week, I think Elon Musk and Twitter launched their Grok, or what do they call it, XAI? Or it's called Grok.
Grok AI.
And his goal was to have something to counter the left-leaning LLMs, which is great, right? And we should have a free market. Shouldn't we see what happens and see what competes? And I can go check different ones for different sources. I do that all the time. Like I use DuckDuckGo as my main search engine. And a lot of times I'll jump onto Google to see what results I get on Google. Sometimes I'll go jump over on Bing. So like, shouldn't we just have multiple sources?
I'll even bring it back to AI. I use both ChatGPT and Bard, and there are countless other AI tools, like, just to keep it simple. And you can sort of, if you play with these tools enough, you know what the advantages of one is over the other. So the free market should be allowed to operate here and give consumers the opportunity to find the product that best serves them and their needs.
If you're just tuning in, you're listening to The Mark Maw Show. We're talking about the battle over technology. The fight of our lives really is what I'm calling it. We're breaking down this new executive order that Biden just signed, and then we're going to jump into some bombshells that were just revealed through Rep. Jim Jordan and more. We'll be back in a minute. Don't go away. Be right back.
My dad works in B2B marketing, but I never really knew what that meant. Then one day, my dad came by my school for career day and told everyone in my class he was a big MQL man. Then he just kept saying things like, the more MQLs, the better, over and over. My friends still laugh at me to this day. I think it means marketing qualified lead. One thing's for sure, I'll be known as the MQL man's kid for the rest of my days. Why couldn't you just be a fireman or a lawyer? Why? You ruined my life, Dad.
Not everyone gets B2B, but LinkedIn has the people who do. And with ads on LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people based on job title, industry, likelihood to buy, and more. Start converting your B2B audience into high-quality leads today. We'll even give you a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/customer to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/customer. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
Let me just run this by my lawyer is a really helpful phrase to have in your back pocket. Legal Shield has been giving legal peace of mind for over 50 years. They connect you to a vetted law firm in your state for an affordable monthly fee. Want an experienced set of eyes on a contract's fine print? Or you finally want to get that will done? Legal Shield has a dedicated group of lawyers who have your back, no matter what the future brings. Sign up today at LegalShield.com/iHeart. PPLSI does not provide legal representation or advice. See a plan for complete terms.
AI might be the most important new computer technology ever. It's storming every industry, and literally billions of dollars are being invested. So buckle up. The problem is that AI needs a lot of speed and processing power. So how do you compete without costs spiraling out of control? It's time to upgrade to the next generation of the cloud. Oracle Cloud Infrastructure, or OCI. OCI is a single platform for your infrastructure, database, application development, and AI needs. OCI has 4 to 8 times the bandwidth of other clouds, offers one consistent price instead of variable regional pricing, and of course, nobody does data better than Oracle. So now you can train your AI models at twice the speed and less than half the cost of other clouds. If you want to do more and spend less like Uber, 8x8, and Databricks Mosaic, take a free test drive of OCI at oracle.com/strategic. That's oracle.com/strategic. oracle.com/strategic.
All right, welcome back. If you're just tuning in, you're listening to The Mark Maw Show. I'm sitting down with Q, and we are talking about a couple stories that were in the news today, this week, talking about how the battle for the fight of our lives is right in front of us, and it's really for the battle over freedom of speech, freedom of expression, and really the control over technology. And we're talking about this new executive order that the Biden administration put together for artificial intelligence. And some of the things we were talking about, how lots of tests and results have shown for the LLMs, language learning models of OpenAI, to be very left-leaning, and now Elon Musk has created one to counter that, as he says. The problem that I think that's great, we just kind of talked about that, but the problem that I have in some of this language on this EO, executive order, is some of the things where they talked about That they want to, using the Defense Production Act, the order increases federal oversight and regulatory scrutiny of the industry by creating new reporting requirements. So they want to have complete oversight and regulatory scrutiny of everything that everybody's doing. And what do they want to see? Well, they want people to report all of the testing, the training of the AI, of the LLM. So the order further calls for AI companies to report on training, security, and testing of the AI models. So they want to see, what are you feeding the model? It requires that AI developers provide safety test results. Now that sounds good. Like, I want to be safe, but what do they deem safety? So for example, if you look at reports from the Department of Homeland Security and the FBI, they say the greatest threats to America right now are disinformation, malinformation, and anything that could undermine the state, the confidence in the state. So you go back to security, right? And it's like, if this were to put out it was actually Alex Epstein. I've had him on my show before. He wrote the book Fossil Future, and he was showing how he was asking OpenAI to talk about energy, fossil fuels, and it couldn't even reply. So if the state says that fossil fuels are a threat to national security, then all of a sudden the AI can't have that. So it's like they're creating like this regulatory body that's for safety, but at the end of the day, it requires permission. I mean, is that how you read it, or is that just where my mind goes?
No, I think you're absolutely right. It's this idea of just utter and complete control. Like, I am not, I don't even consider myself a coder. However, I am proficient at Python. I can get away with it. I could build an LLM for you very poorly, but I could do it. But now I couldn't even try to hone that skill to a certain degree. At a certain point, I have to be subject to certain regulations. And the fact of the matter is, the government has proven to us, not just shown us, but proven to us over the course of its history, that the people it puts in charge of these positions, like, oh, I don't know, the guy you were talking about the last hour, Mr. Gary Gensler, in charge of securities, they don't actually know what they're doing in these roles, and they don't know how to their roles impact these things, let alone how to properly build an LLM or some other machine learning algorithm.
Yeah. Now, some of the things I saw on here that maybe seemed kind of good to me, you know, my dad told me when I was 18, when I learned how to vote, he said that, remember, every time you vote for a law, whether it's good or bad, it's less freedom. Some of these things, they sound good, but it's like, do we really need them? So for example, Biden's order further directs the Commerce Department to identify science-backed standards and techniques for detecting synthetic content. And so what they're saying is that using AI, you could take somebody's likeness and you could manipulate it. So it says specifically calls for preventing generative AI from producing child sexual abuse. Okay, that sounds great. I'm for that. Producing non-consensual intimate imagery of real individuals and deepfakes. So like, that sounds good. So I certainly don't want child sexual abuse to happen. I certainly wouldn't want non-consensual intimate imagery or deepfakes of myself produced. So that sounds good, right?
It does, but then the question I have to ask you is, that is an infringement on your name, your image, your likeness. So it's a copyright infringement. It's also potentially, depending on what the deepfake is doing or saying with you, it could be libel. It could be any host of other pre-existing laws that we have in place to actually handle these issues. So, and the funny thing, and I was kind of telling you before we went live, like, at this point in time in 2023, whether you only watch content on YouTube or you watch Netflix or you go to the movie theater, it doesn't matter. We've reached a point where there is so much computer generated content that, like, what is that line? What is that line of synthetic content versus computer generated content that gets dinged or not dinged?
Yeah.
So,
and like you said, we have laws in place for that. So if somebody uses my likeness and says something I don't want to say, then we have defamation and libel. We have things already that are there. So it's like, do we need to continue to stack more things? And you know, the problem that I have is that it just creates all these, again, back to the law being very ambiguous. And the reason why that's a good thing for them and a bad thing for us is then they can arbitrarily choose to apply that. So they can apply it to you and not to me. You don't really fit the definition. Oh, you do, right? Kind of a thing like that. We can see that, you know, they could use, the federal government could use this to strong arm AI companies into making whatever concepts, like let's say critical race theory, a foundational concept of their models, for example. So you don't even know this. This is something I talk about. I wrote the book, the shameless plug, The Uncommunist Manifesto. And because Marxism is so ingrained into our education system, most professors and teachers don't know they're Marxists. They don't know that. They didn't purposely go out to become a Marxist. They just don't realize that they've been indoctrinated in this. And so you start to embed these types of principles and foundations and building blocks into these tools that we'll start to use. We'll start to go get information from this. And it's starting to feed us back these embedded principles. And without us even knowing it, it starts to change the entire concept of what America is, the way that we think. And this is sort of what I framed up in The Battle for the Fate of Humanity, which is that history, the long arm of history, is just a series of never-ending freedom, oppression, revolution. It's just revolution after revolution after revolution. But I think that cycle could be broken because with technologies like this, we start using AI to think for us. We use social media. It starts to condition our thinking. It's able to censor and stop any sort of dissent type of thought. They could potentially stop a revolution from ever happening again. And we could be living in this like dystopian matrix type world where they're just feeding us from the time that we're born, this narrative, this model, and we're never able to really break through. Anybody who sort of breaks free could be just stopped almost instantly. It's very scary, but at the same time, it's very real, the power of this technology to do that.
No, absolutely. There are unintended consequences, absolutely, but I firmly go back to any example that's presented of, well, this nefarious thing could be done with AI or you can create, and that's illegal. There's a law in place.
Right.
We don't need more laws. We, especially not when it comes to technology that is being developed, this is next gen technology. As cliche, as catchphrasy as that is, this is the future that we've been promised for a very long time. Yeah. And to stifle the development of this tech now, it's flagrantly
scary.
Un-American.
There's some more revelations that I want to dig into. Rep Jim Jordan blew something wide open. There's something called the EIP and something called CISA that's going on that you need to know about that really builds into this narrative, but I got to take a quick break. If you're just tuning in, you're listening to The Mark Maugh Show. We're running through some things that happened this week that show you the battle for the fate of humanity. The battle of our life is right here at the gate. We'll dig more into that when we come back. Don't go away. Be right back.
Let me run this by my lawyer is a really helpful phrase to have in your back pocket. Legal Shield has been giving legal peace of mind for over 50 years. They connect you to a vetted law firm in your state for an affordable monthly fee. Want an experienced set of eyes on a contract's fine print, or you finally want to get that will done? Legal Shield has a dedicated group of lawyers who have your back, no matter what the future brings. Sign up today at LegalShield.com/iHeart. PPLSI does not provide legal representation or advice. See a plan for complete terms.
If you want to level up your marketing and business knowledge, then look no further than the Marketing School podcast hosted by Neil Patel and yours truly, Eric Hsu. It is the number one marketing podcast in the United States and number 15 on business in the United States. And it has amazing guests such as Alex Hormozi, Layla Hormozi, Cody Sanchez. We pull in these amazing interviews with other people that are not only great marketers, but actual operators. And the icing on the cake is Neil and myself were also operators as well. So we share learnings from the trenches. We share secrets that we otherwise wouldn't be sharing with other people. And we also share other advantages that will help you get ahead of your competition. So all you have to do is listen to Marketing School every weekday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi there, I'm Bob Pittman, Chairman and CEO of iHeartMedia. I'm excited to announce a new season of my podcast, Math and Magic, Stories from the Frontiers of Marketing. Our guests this season remind us to embrace change and fearlessly look toward the future. Like Andrew Jarecki, award-winning filmmaker and creator of Movie Phone.
The studios didn't really control the theaters didn't control the studios. And I thought, well, there's a window in here where I could make things easier for the consumer and also make something that would be very useful for the industry.
Or Kellen Kenny, Chief Marketing and Growth Officer at AT&T, who installed fiber in customers' houses rather than leading from afar.
It is so crucial that you spend time with the customers. That is the best lesson.
In these exciting times, we're looking to the math, the strategy and analytics, and the magic, the creative spark, more than ever. Listen to a brand new season of Math and Magic on our very own iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcast.
All right, welcome back. If you're just tuning in, you're listening to The Mark Moss Show. We're talking about some of these stories that just happened this week that really illustrate the balance of power is shifting with technology, and it's really leading us into the fight of our life. And we're talking about the power of us using technology for freedom, or the government's using technology to censor us. And this week, we saw a bombshell report. Rep Jim Jordan, who almost became the Speaker of the House, he didn't get the votes, but he kind of broke this wide open with lots of other people, but talking about the censorship industrial complex, hundreds of secret reports showing that Homeland Security, the DHS, cybersecurity infrastructure, CISA, and lots of other things were working together with Stanford, NGOs like the Atlantic Council, and big tech to purposely censor Americans before the 2020 election, including true information, jokes, and opinions, to steer the election. They worked through something called the EIP, which is the Election Integrity Partnership. And they created this EIP, Election Integrity Partnership, to monitor and censor American speech. This is a big deal. They have smoking guns. They have videos of them having conversations. One of the videos I saw, somebody from the EIP was saying, these are things that the government can't do, so we really need to we really need to rely on you to do these things for us, things like that. So the stakeholders were the federal government submitting misinformation reports. They would then use big tech to censor. And like I said, even things that were known to be true, such as jokes and political opinions, they gave example, or they had lists of certain alternative news sources and commentators that were purposely being censored, like Dave Rubin, for example, things like that. What did you think about this report as you read through a Q?
I'd say I'm surprised at this point, but given Elon
Musk. How could
Musk
you be surprised about anything at this point?
Exactly. All cards are on the table, but you know, the thing that just, you try to laugh in moments of just sheer pain like this. The Election Integrity Partnership, the EIP, was created to keep election integrity, but did the very thing it was fighting again. Like it's the irony.
I would stop you on that. I believe that almost every I hate to use that word, but yeah, maybe almost every government policy or agency they put together does the opposite of what the name is. So the 100%. Inflation Reduction Act. Printing $1.7 trillion, right? I wouldn't say it was created to create true integrity in the election. It was created to create integrity for their outcome.
Or a guise of integrity, sort of like this smoke screen of, see, look, we care, we fight the good fight. But then if you actually like peel back the curtain and you see what's going on there, you see stuff that would make third world leaders applaud, cheer, and like be proud. And this is happening in America. It's not our neighbors to the north. It's not the cartel down south or any of the countries that we've torn apart throughout Central and South America or anywhere in the Middle East. No, this is America. These are our leaders right now. That's how I feel about it.
Yeah, exactly. Now, there was after the 2020 election was over, Time Magazine wrote an article in Time Magazine entitled "The Secret History of the Shadow Campaign That Saved the 2020 Election." That's the name of in Time Magazine. You go look it up for yourself. And in this, they talked about this invisible cabal that worked together to rig the election against Donald Trump. Okay. So this is in Time Magazine, and they talk about how they did all these things to work with the social media platforms to win the election. We did it. We won. Go look it up for yourself. Time Magazine, The Secret History of the Shadow Campaign That Saved the 2020 Election. So this wasn't about, it was about securing the integrity that would lead to the outcome that they wanted rather than the integrity of a free and open. So they start, and this is sort of like Marxism, they start to distort these words because you and I, and this is a big thing in my book, Uncommunist Manifesto, we open up the book with definitions. And if you listen to some of these voices, these academics, you know, like a Jordan Peterson, for example, he's very clear on using definitions. You always have to define what the word is. And the part of the reason why Dr. James Lindsay is very, very good about this, he's probably the leader in the Marxist, neo-Marxist kind of movement. And he's always trying to explain the definition of these words because they, the other side, they're using these words to mean different things than what you and I think they mean. And so when they say democracy, for example, when they say like, freedom is a threat to our democracy or freedom of speech is a threat to our democracy. Well, how could that be? Because isn't democracy like what the public wants? So if you don't let the public get the, like, but their definition of the word democracy is different. Their definition of the word integrity is different, I guess.
I mean, it must be nice when you write your own rules and write the rules for everyone else, to say the least.
Yeah. And so we know that the First Amendment guarantees us the freedom of speech and the government's not able to infringe on that. But this goes back to, like I said, this EIP was saying, hey, there's certain things we can't do, so we're relying on you to do this. And so the government sort of had this plausible deniability where they're like, hey, it's not us. It's Facebook. It's YouTube doing it. It's Twitter doing it. But now we have the documents to see that it was the governments that were pressuring them to do this all along. I mean, it's just so dirty. And now I've even seen some testimony where they're like, They're talking to like Department of Homeland Security head Mayorkas, and they're like sort of like denying it, like, but like they're like using this like legally speak to like not really lie under oath, but like not being honest either. I don't know if you've seen some of that.
No, it is. This is the purpose of NGOs like the Atlantic Council. It affords an extra layer of separation. So the head of the Homeland Security can go on the stage and be like, well, it didn't directly come from us. It came from this other group where, like, if you do some digging, you come to realize, oh, the Atlantic Council is just like a secret government-funded organization and group that pushes forward a very focused agenda for a specific group of people. You don't know that. It's almost like the same thing that, like, confused Americans about the Iraq war and 9/11 of, oh, we were bombed by Al-Qaeda, but we're going to go to war in Iraq. Wait, who's Al-Qaeda? It's the same thing of, well, it's Twitter and Facebook, but they're saying it's the government. Yeah, but it's the Atlantic Council. Oh, so it's not the government. Well, they kind of are, but they're kind of not.
Yeah, I mean, they have like multiple CIA people on their board. I mean, it's basically the government, but kind of not. So here's sort of how it works. So the EIP, Election Integrity Partnership, they're, you know, what they did is they used external stakeholders. So these would be federal agencies, organizations funded by the federal government, but sort of like they're funded by them, but a little bit different maybe. And what they would do is they would submit misinformation reports directly to the EIP. Then the misinformation analysts would then go across the whole internet looking for examples, additional examples that need to be censored. Then if the submitted report flagged like a Facebook post, for example, then the EIP analysts would search for similar content on other platforms, YouTube, TikTok, Reddit, Twitter, things like that. And then once all the offending links were compiled, the EIP would send the most significant ones directly to big tech, directly to YouTube, Twitter, et cetera, with specific recommendations on how the social media platforms should censor the post, such as reducing the post discoverability. This is like the shadow banning here about suspending an account, ability to continue tweeting for like 12 hours. So we saw like during the Hunter Biden laptop story, during an election, politicians' accounts were like blocked for periods of time. Monitoring if any of the tagged influencer accounts retweet a particular user. And of course, then removing thousands, tens of thousands of Americans' posts and even accounts. I mean, it was just craziness. But like I said, this is all highlighting the bigger battle that's in front of us. Now, this is all scary stuff, and it's technology that they're using to get this power, not just the power of the internet, but it's going to be the power over our IDs, digital IDs. It's going to be the power over our money. If you're just tuning in and listening to the Mark Moss Show, running through a couple stories that broke this week that really highlight the battle, well, the fight of our lives right now. I'm going to take a very quick break. We'll be back with more in a minute. Don't go away.
All right. Let me just run this by my lawyer is a really helpful phrase to have in your back pocket. Legal Shield has been giving legal peace of mind for over 50 years. They connect you to a vetted law firm in your state for an affordable monthly fee. Want an experienced set of eyes on a contract's fine print? Or you finally want to get that will done? Legal Shield has a dedicated group of lawyers who have your back, no matter what the future brings. Sign up today at LegalShield.com/iHeart. PPLSI does not provide legal representation or advice. See a plan for complete terms.
If you want to level up your marketing and business knowledge, then look no further than the Marketing School podcast hosted by Neil Patel and yours truly, Eric Sue. It is the number one marketing podcast in the United States and number 15 on business in the United States. And it has amazing guests such as Alex Hormozi, Layla Hormozi, Cody Sanchez. We pull in these amazing interviews with other people that are not only great marketers, but actual operators. And the icing on the cake is Neil and myself were also operators as well. So we share learnings from the trenches. We share secrets that we otherwise wouldn't be sharing with other people. And we also share other advantages that will help you get ahead of your competition. So all you have to do is listen to Marketing School every weekday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi there, I'm Bob Pittman, Chairman and CEO of iHeartMedia. I'm excited to announce a new season of my podcast, Math and Magic, Stories from the Frontiers of Marketing. Our guests this season remind us to embrace change and fearlessly look toward the future. Like Andrew Jarecki, award-winning filmmaker and creator of Movie Phone.
The studios didn't really control the theaters didn't control the studios. And I thought, well, there's a window in here where I could make things easier for the consumer and also make something that would be very useful for the industry.
Or Kellen Kenny, Chief Marketing and Growth Officer at AT&T, who installed fiber in customers' houses rather than leading from afar.
It is so crucial that you spend time with the customers. That is the best lesson.
In these exciting times, we're looking to the math, the strategy and analytics, and the magic, the creative spark, more than ever. Listen to a brand new season of Math and Magic on our very own iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcast.
Welcome back. If you're just tuning in, you're listening to The Mark Moss Show. We're talking through a couple stories that broke this week that really highlight the battle for the fight of our lives. And this is the battle over freedom. It's battle over technology, battle of freedom of speech. And we're talking about this bombshell report that came out showing how the government, through multiple arms of the government, including think tanks, including new agencies, used their power and might in order to censor people, censor Americans. Now, a lot of this came out through information, and a lot of it came out of this agency called the Cybersecurity and Internet Security Agency, or CISA. CISA's censorship partners as partners with the EIP as well, Atlanta Council. We've talked about a bunch of things. The thing that I want to know is, like, we see now Rep Jim Jordan kind of brought this to the forefront. He's pounding the table on this. You see a lot of people on the Republican, not a lot, a few people on the Republican side sort of jumping in on top of this. I haven't seen anybody on the Democratic side, maybe RFK, but he's like an independent now, jumping on this as well. I get a little bit tired. I don't want to say I get tired of it, but it's like, there's a few people, there's a handful, like half a dozen people like Jim Jordan that pound on this, but it just never seems to go anywhere. And I always want to know, it's like, cool, all right, thanks. Thanks for bringing that to my attention. Now what are you going to do about it?
Like, at this point, I think we have to come to accept, kind of to your point earlier when you were discussing SBF, like, this is not, our problems are not going to be solved by the state, let alone some centralized entity that's going to take power away from themselves and give it back to the people. This has to come from the people continuously pounding the drums to ask for justice and ask for the right things to be done. Enough is enough. I kind of want to pose a question though to you. You know, we're seeing a lot of this stuff talking about election interference, and we just had an election last week, and our next one next year is going to be for another presidential election. Like, seeing all of this stuff as we headed into another presidential election cycle, like, where are your thoughts on just how things are shaping up?
Well, Q, that's a very scary thing to think about, and I don't even know if I can talk about it. We're sitting here talking about censorship. I mean, this video is going to go on YouTube, so I got to be very careful what I say. Unfortunately, I don't believe we have truly free and fair elections. And let me just back this up. So we know we have concrete evidence and proof that for years, not just 2020. Longer. There's always been election tampering going on. Just this last week, we saw in, was it New Jersey? Someone got convicted for election tampering. They got caught bringing in ballots and they got convicted of it. This just happened this last week. So we know this has happened for a long period of time, not just 2020. It goes on longer. This is not arguable. The arguable fact is, how deep and pervasive is it? And those things we just don't know. And part of it's because we don't have freedom of information. What bothers me is that if we wanted it to be free and fair and transparent, we could very easily. It used to be. We don't need technology. I mean, we can sit there and just do it with hash marks with a pencil and a piece of paper. Like, it can be very simple. So the way that it's supposed to work, and the way it's worked forever until 2020, is that voting is done locally and it's done in person. So it's done in precincts. So I go down to my local school, usually, or church or somebody's garage or whatever it may be. And it's done in a very small precinct. And at that precinct, I go to check in. They check my name off a list. I'm on a registered roll. They take my vote. I make my thing. And then that right there, that precinct tallies those votes and then they get sent up. And then that night, we know who won. That's how it's always been done. And now there was a shift where we started saying, well, what about service members voting overseas? And so then we started having these absentee ballots. Now, I became a permanent absentee voter because I didn't want to keep going to the polls. It was kind of a pain in the butt. Same. But even with the absentee ballot, you still have to be on the voter roll. And so then they would send to you. What happened in 2020 is they created what's called mail-in ballots, where they just sent out ballots in mass and allowed anyone to be a bundler, get these things, drop them off. And now, not only they don't have to be in one day, now they stretch it out like over a month and they just keep bringing in pallets and pallets. So they've completely distorted the whole thing. So if we wanted to restore integrity back, election integrity, then we don't have to go back to some, we don't have to come up with some crazy software like, or use the Bitcoin ledger. We can just go back to the way it was. And we can have, and we should have somebody from both sides, a Republican and Democrat. We could live stream it on Facebook or on YouTube, so everyone can watch it. And I think if people, you know, obviously the 2020 election became very contested. If either side would have just said, okay, fine, like, let's just recount, let's set up the cameras, just recount it. Like, I think people would be okay with that. Like, I think people are okay with the outcome, even if it's an outcome they don't want, as long as they can deem it to be fair. And we talked about this in sports quite a bit. So anyway, my guess, Q, is that this one is going to be even more contested than the last one. I don't believe, and let me just throw out a couple facts. We're already seeing, like, the amount of indictments going around Donald Trump. I don't know how anybody can't see that this isn't like something they're trying to take him down. I mean, the prosecutor is on video a year ago, 2 years ago, saying that if she gets elected, she's going to go out and prosecute him. Like, they've got him off every single charge from every single angle. But yet he's now, the Democrats are like crazy scared because he's massively leading Joe Biden. But of course, who's going to vote for Joe Biden? The guy can't even put a sentence together. And so it's like, this is going to be a problem. And in order to overcome this, whether you want to call it conspiracy or dirty or whatever, like, nobody wants to lose. The Democratic Party, Republican Party, they both want to win. They're going to have to pull some sort of rabbit out of their hat if they want to hold power. That's kind of my final summary, I guess.
I want to quickly plug and shout out Nate Silver. He had a really interesting article this last week where he was talking about some of the polling data that he's seeing come through. And he was talking about how, you know, if you just remove, so Trump, Biden national polls, they're talking about sort of what that looks like. But then he goes a step further. He goes, if you just do Biden versus a Republican, the empty Republican, not Nikki Haley, not specifying who, just a Republican based on what you believe to be Republican values, polls twice as well as is beating Biden by a margin twice as large as Trump is. And then on the inverse of that is also true, where if they remove Biden against a just blanket Democrat against Donald Trump, you again are also seeing all of a sudden this blanket Democrat who, whatever the values of the Democratic Party are, it just points to everyone is sick of this. Everyone is sick of this. People just want to return to some semblance of normalcy and move forward.
And we want fairness. Like, look, that's why I said, like, if they could just show that this was fair, we could accept the outcome. My favorite team loses, but it was fair, right? And so we need to return to that. And I agree. I've said, I mean, I like Trump. I certainly would want Trump over Biden. But I've also said that I think he should just step down because there's so many people that just will never vote for him because they're never Trumper. And so he should probably step down on behalf of the Republican Party to the kind of point that you just made. I thought we talked about this earlier, but I didn't watch, guilty. I didn't watch the debate, Republican debate last night. But I did see a clip of Vivek Ramaswamy, who I've had on the show before. Just search Mark Masho Vivek and you'll see that. But I liked how he opened it up and he just said, look, guys, you're completely losing. He was asking for the RNC chair to step down. And he was just saying, like, we are the anti-Democratic Party, right? We're the other party. Like, we should be welcoming Elon Musk and Joe Rogan to be in here moderating these things. And I think it would be much more inclusive that way, as opposed to trying to stick to these old ideals. This conservative party who hasn't conserved one thing. What's the point of that even name? But anyway, we gotta wrap this up, Q. Thanks for jumping in on this. I just want to finish this off by saying, look, this is the fight for our life. And it's not the red or blue. It's not the Democrat or Republican. It's we the people having access to technology that gives us freedom to make our lives better versus the state who wants to control the narrative and continue to gaslight us and continue to control us. That is the battle for the fate of humanity. Don't get caught up in the left or the right. It's always voting for more freedom. That's what we want. Anyway, listen to the Mark Moss Show. Thanks so much for listening this time. Hit me up on social media at @OneMarkMoss. Leave me a comment. Leave a review on a podcast. And that's it. Until next time.
Let me just run this by my lawyer is a really helpful phrase to have in your back pocket. Legal Shield has been giving legal peace of mind for over 50 years. They connect you to a vetted law firm in your state for an affordable monthly fee. Want an experienced set of eyes on a contract's fine print? Or you finally want to get that will done? Legal Shield has a dedicated group of lawyers who have your back, no matter what the future brings. Sign up today at LegalShield.com/iHeart. PPLSI does not provide legal representation or advice. See a plan for complete terms.
It's brand new season 2. I'm Marissa Thalberg.
And I'm Stephen Wolf Badeda. And we're excited to be back having bigger, bolder, and always real conversations.
Straight from the C-suite front lines of marketing, media, and more.
We have great friends joining from people you may know, like Wilmer Valderrama and Bobby Burke.
And people you'll want to know. So grab a coffee or, hey, even an Aperol Spritz and come join us on America's number one podcast network, iHeart.
Listen to Brand New on the iHeart Radio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi there, I'm Bob Pittman, Chairman and CEO of iHeartMedia. I'm excited to announce a new season of my podcast, Math and Magic, Stories from the Frontiers of Marketing. Our guests this season show us big risk can yield big rewards, like Rob Riley, the creative head of one of the world's leading advertising firms.
I try to create environments where anybody can say anything without any judgment.
Listen to a brand new season of Math and Magic on our very own iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcast.